The Lord woman is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour apostolic Sabbatarian congregation on Zion at the 12th hour in Living York, Texas. Today is July 16, 2016, or it's 8/13/2020. We will start our third service today with a song entitled Each Step I Take, My Savior Goes Before Me. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. With His loving hand, He leads the way. And with His breath, I whisper, I adore Thee. Overjoyed to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me. Here I abound, He ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take, this leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begins to waver, when up ahead I see her chasm wide. If then I turn and look up to my Savior, I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take, this leads me closer home. I trust in Yah, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead you to the promised land. Each step I take, and that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take, this leads me closer home.
Matthew 25, 10 virgins. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went in to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him unto the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Master, open up to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now that still holds for today. He's going to say to some people today, because we are just looking at the antitype of this here marriage supper of the Lamb. It's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. And there's going to be those that believe that they're okay. They believe that they're going to be ready when the bridegroom comes. That they're going to be terribly disappointed. And it's a sad commentary, but it can happen to all of us. And we, especially those in the leadership role, those that become settled on their leads, those are the ones that's in the most dangerous, dangerous position. Because those that become settled on their leads are the ones that are at the head of the work. And that's exactly what happened down at Kermit 2002. That's exactly what happened. And so it says there in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 8, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Yahshua's sacrifice. The day of the sacrifice, now when is that? That's on the day of Passover. See, people don't realize it. The Rhoda Johnson said in 2002 at the Passover, he says, before the Passover, he says, we're going to have a visitor this year. It's going to be Yahshua. Because on the day of his sacrifice, we're going to have an Antichrist. We're going to have an Antichrist. And he's going to come, and he's going to be here in the person. Okay? So this is what this is talking about in Zephaniah 1:8. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahshua's sacrifice, on the day of Passover in 2002, that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. So, I guarantee you that if you had been there at the Passover 2002 at Kermit, at Gilead Center, you would have felt the chilling experience, because it was definitely a pall over the service. Over that church, there was a death pall over it. We had one guy that was from another state that was a so-called member that come several times a year, and he come at the Passover every year, take Passover. He was a chandler. He was a Satan worshiper. And yet, Brother Johnson allowed him to be a member and let him to worship with us. And this chandler was standing outside the door. He wouldn't even take the Passover with us. He wouldn't even take a list of the service. He just went outside the door. And he stood by the door and he channeled to Satan. He was channeling to Satan to come and take possession of that service. And Brother Johnson knew what he was doing, and Brother Johnson knew he was out there doing that. Yet Brother Johnson didn't do a thing about it. And when that happened, I knew then that that was the last Passover for us. I knew that. So it says, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Yahshua's sacrifice, that's on the Passover, that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold. And Brother Johnson used that very word. He said, Yahshua is going to come to the threshold of the house here, and he's going to knock for admittance, which fills their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, on the day of the Passover, 2002, saith the Yahshua, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hill. Okay. So, that's what happened. Now let's go back to Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Okay. Well, Brother Johnson was watching. He had already announced it several months ahead of time that this coming Passover is going to be a special one, because it's going to be the antithetical Passover of Yahshua's sacrifice 2,000 years ago. So we were all ready. We were all expecting. So the bridegroom came. So we've already had the experience of the bridegroom coming. Okay. But what does it say? When he comes, that you're to go out to meet him. You're not to stay in the building where you're expecting to come. Because he's only going to come to the threshold of the house. He's not going to come in. He's just going to come to the threshold. He's going to knock on the door, and that's what he did at Kermit. And then what did he say? What did he say to his servants that were signing and crying inside the door of that church? What did he say? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse about 14 through 17, he tells you exactly what he did. And I'll go read it to you. And he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Yahshua with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of Yahweh with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Elohim. As Elohim has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Yahshua, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Now here Yahshua is telling us, when he comes back as a bridegroom to get his bride, that he's going to be a father unto his people that he redeems. So he's going to be a father unto them. And you shall be my sons and daughters. Okay, so those that he redeems become the sons and daughters of Yahshua. Okay. Saith the Almighty. Well, this is actually the Father. This is the Father here is the Almighty. So, if this is the Almighty, then he is directing his actions through his son Yahshua. And he's speaking to his son Yahshua because his son is the one that comes to the threshold of the house. He's the one that tells his people to come out from them and be ye separate, touch no unclean thing. And that's exactly what happened at the Passover 2002. And that's why Gilead Center came to its close afterwards. It was after the Passover that Gilead Center came to a crashing halt. Now, as we go back to Matthew 25, we'll continue reading. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, what is this all about? Well, Yahshua came from heaven. And he had his servants down here on earth. And he delivered unto them his goods. He came here and delivered unto them his goods. And he says, now, you have chosen. And he chose ten main servants. Ten is universal, means here in the end time. That's when this parable meets its fulfillment. So we're reading this now in the light of the 12th parabolic God that we're in right now, yet to be fulfilled. For the kingdom of the heaven, which is the same thing as the everlasting kingdom of the David, set up here in the 12th parabolic hour, is as a man traveling into a far country. So now the kingdom of heaven takes on a different persona. It takes on the appearance of a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1. and unto every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now this parable of Matthew 25 is actually dealing with the three servants. That he gave 5 talents to one, he gave 2 to another, and he gave 1 to another. And as I read to you earlier in Mount Zion at the 11th hour, in our first study, it says that also there are 2 distinct parables of the talents, Matthew 25:15-30, and Luke 19:13-27, both of which pointedly enter the picture in its present setting. In one are 3 servants. That's in the parable of Matthew 25, and that's just who I was just reading to you about. And the other are 10 servants, and the other one is in Luke 19:13-27. This significant difference shows that the former has only a local application, whereas the latter has a worldwide application. Okay. So now Luke 19 has a worldwide application, and Matthew 25, the 3 servants, has a local application. So now, right now we're dealing with the local application, but it also, Matthew 25 is also dealing with the latter application as well. We're dealing with the 10, and I'll show you why. Because the 3 servants here in Matthew 25 is also pointed out in Luke 19. And I'll catch that up with you later. There are 3 distinct servants pointed out here in Matthew 25, verse 15. And there are 3 distinct servants pointed out in Luke 19. But the difference is that Luke 19 talks about that one servant standing by has 10 talents and says, give that 1 talent from a slothful servant, give it to the one that has 10. And that's in Luke 19. I'm trying to come to it here. This talks about... And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, this is Luke 19:24, and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. Okay. And they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. Okay. So this last servant, which was one of the 10, had the 10 pounds. And that would be antiquity Elijah, David. All right, now let's go back to Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is let's go to verse 15 again. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, who did he give his 5 talents to? It says a man here. Beachy Harliff was the one that received the 5 talents in this parable. Ben Roden, his successor, received 2 talents. And Willis Johnson, the successor of Ben Roden, received 1 talent. But the 1 talent that Willis Johnson had was 1,000 times superior to the 5 or the 2 talents that was given to his predecessors. And what do I mean by that? In that Brother Johnson was given the gift to restore all 10 talents that was in that 1 talent. There were 10 gifts in that 1 talent that Yeshua gave the brother W. Johnson. There were 10 gifts there. And that was the gift of the restoring of the sanctuary completely back to its rightful order, with all of its trappings, with all of its window dressing, with everything that goes with the sanctuary that would represent the kingdom of heaven coming down out of heaven. That's what he was given. All right, let's go on now from Matthew 25:16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So, and in other words, Vitihara had the 5 talents, and he made the most of his 5 talents. He made the most of it, but whenever his 5 talents was up, he was only given 5 of the 10 that was allocated. There's only 10 talents allocated for the servant. Rich Harlef only had half of them. Ben Roden had 2 of them, and Rhodes Johnson had 1 of them. So he had 8 talents altogether that was given to 3 different servants in the 10th and the 11th parabolic hour on the parabolic time clock. And so the first 7 talents was given to Vitihara and Ben Roden in the 10th parabolic hour. The last talent was given to Verlis W. Johnson in the 11th parabolic hour. Okay, and so Verlis Johnson then, he had the equivalency to all 10 talents that was allocated to the 10 different servants. From the time that Yahshua rose, went back to heaven, and he left 10 servants in charge of his kingdom, and he left them 10 talents. Each one of them had a talent apiece. But the 10th servant with the ended up with the 10 talents. Now keep in mind, Rhodes Johnson was the 8th servant mentioned in this 10 servants of the 10 talents. He was the 8th one with the 8th talent. Elijah David is the 10th one with the 10th talent. You get the picture? All right. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Yahshua's money. So, Rhodes Johnson with the 1, that was equivalent to all 10 talents of the 10 servants, he took it lock, stock, and barrel, and he went and dug him a hole in the ground. Well, you know, in olden times, this is how people saved their money from being stolen. If a man had any kind of money at all, riches at all, he didn't dare keep it on himself, except just a little bit at a time when he was traveling. He would leave most of it behind, buried in a hole. He'd put it in some kind of a box or something, and he'd dig a hole and put it in the ground. That's where it'd be safe. And he'd hide it where nobody knew, except him, how to go find it. And he made sure that any time he needed any money out of that box in the ground, he made sure that nobody was watching when he went to get it. And a lot of times it'd be in the middle of the night when he'd get up, and he'd steal away and go to his hiding place and get the money he'd need for the next day. All right. So it says in Matthew 25:19, or verse 18 again, and he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his master's money. So you see, he didn't hide his own money. He took the money that was loaned to him to use. And he went and he hid it. He said, "Well, I don't need this money. Thank you, but I really don't need it. But I'll go hide it where nobody will find it and steal it, though. I will do that. And when you come back, I'll have it safely to give back to you. Because I really don't need it, because I've got my own money." That's what Brother Johnson operated on, was his own money. from 1970 to 2003. Okay. Matthew 25:19. After a long time, the Yahshua of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His master said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, what did he mean by that? He means that he used all his 5 talents and he gained 5 more. So it means that he arrived at the 10 talents that was allocated for the 10 servants. He doubled it, and so now he is in charge of all 10 talents that are allocated. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Master, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now notice the one with the 5 talents. He was faithful over a few things, and he was made ruler over many things. The one with the 2 talents was faithful over a few things. He says, I will make you the ruler over many things as well. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. So, if you make full use of all the talent that he give you, then he will double that talent. That talent will be double, and he'll give you 100% credit for having attained unto the 10. And he'll make you ruler. He'll give you a position in his kingdom to be a ruler over many things. He said, enter thou into the joy of thy Yahweh. Well, what's more important? Using the talent that he gives you. And if you're slothful in it, he's going to take that away from you. He's going to take that away from you and give it to someone else. And you're going to know it. You're going to know it. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The master answered, the Yahshua answered, and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is where we're at right today, folks. This is exactly where we're at in the stream of time. Every family on the face of the earth are going to be confronted with this here accounting for his talent that Yahweh has given him. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Alright, now, we still have yet to see that event. When he comes in the throne of his glory, we're given forewarning right now. We can get ready for that. We can be prepared for that. We know what our talent is. We know what he has given us. We know what he's called us to do. So, you're without excuse if you don't measure up and use your talent 100% of what he gives you. You waste your time and give it to the devil. You go ahead and keep wasting it and give it to the devil. Give just a little bit of your time to Yahweh each day and see where you're going to end up. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee an hungered and fled thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It don't get much clearer than that, folks. It don't get much clearer than that. Alright, that ends Matthew 25. Let's go in now to Luke chapter 19. And let's see what about those 10 servants, which is definitely a latter day parable as well. And we'll start with verse 1. And Yahshua entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Yahshua, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Yahshua came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was going to be guest of the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto Yahshua, Behold, Master, the half of my goods I give unto the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. And Yahshua said unto him, This day is salvation come unto this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of Yahweh should immediately appear. Now this is exactly what they were expecting at Kermit in 2002, when Brother Samson announced that Yahshua was coming to be our guest at our Passover 2002. And Brother Samson first preached the kingdom 28 years earlier in 1974. He says the kingdom was coming then, and he even wrote a tract on that. Kingdom 74, he titled it. And it didn't happen, and the people, I was there, we had a great disappointment. So, most of us held on for another 28 years here at Gilead Center. And lo and behold, we are assured now that the time has come for the kingdom to appear. Now the time has come. And, boy, we got excited all over again. And then when it's all over with, and the kingdom didn't appear according to their expectation, they all became disappointed a second time. We all did. Except I didn't become disappointed. I don't know about the others. I don't even know about my wife, but she came disappointed enough. I don't know about Alan DeLong. All I know is I wasn't disappointed because I knew what was going down. Because I was one of the players in causing that to go down. I was the one that prophesied 18 months earlier what was going to happen very soon. And it happened at the Atonement 2002, and I prophesied in January of 2001 what was going to happen to Gilead Center. So I knew what was going down. I wasn't disappointed. But I assure you there were others following Rodas Johnson that were disappointed a second time. By this time, they began to eat and drink with the drunken. That was in Matthew 24. All right, now, it says here in Luke 19, I'll read verse 11 again, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of Yahweh should immediately appear. So now, what happened in 2002 when they thought that the kingdom of Yahweh was to immediately appear again? Everybody had his heart set on it now. Yahshua brought to light to us at Gilead Center this parable of Luke 19 that I'm reading to you right now. So as we were approaching again unto the coming of Jerusalem, setting up the kingdom of Jerusalem, as we're approaching it once again unto setting this up, Yahshua once again approaches, as he is approaching unto Jerusalem with his disciples, he utters a parable. And this parable stands for us today. And so now I'm going to continue to read to you about this parable in verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Okay. The reason he used the word 10 servants here is because this parable is to apply worldwide here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. And 10 means universal. Simply put, this means. It can just be one servant. It could be two servants or three servants. That represents these 10 servants here in the 12th hour. Of course, 10, like I said, is just a universal number. It's not local, like Matthew 25, talking about those three servants. That was a local application. But here in Luke 19, it's a universal application. But it's dealing with the same three servants now. It's dealing with the same three servants. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Why? Because their heart was set on reigning over all the nations of the world themselves. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by the trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Okay, now you see this 1 pound. Now remember, in Matthew 25, the one that had the 5 pounds had only gained 5 pounds, making it 10 pounds altogether. But now here, this servant here has 1 pound, but it gained 10 pounds. Same scenario. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. meaning you're going to have authority now over all the cities of the world. You're going to have authority over all the righteous nations of the world. This servant that approved himself here and the tenth with the one talent, because it gained 10. And the second came saying, Master, that pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, Be thou also over 5 cities. So however many talents that your talent gained, that's how much you're going to be entrusted with. You're going to be entrusted with 5 times over. But that one talent that you did, if you gained 5, then you're going to be entrusted with 5 times over what you was entrusted with the first time. And another came saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now, in Matthew 25, the same parable talked about, a different parable talked about him burying it in the ground. But here he laid it up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Okay. I didn't hire you, Yahshua is telling this wicked servant, I didn't hire you to reverse the interpretation of this talent upon my own head. I didn't hire you to do that. I hired you to utilize that talent. And I would bless it. I didn't hire you to go hide it and then turn around and tell me why you didn't use it. Because you thought you had a better way to do it than I did. In other words, you had your own idea of how the kingdom should be set up and how it should be operated. You had your own idea of it. You didn't like my plan and idea, so that's the reason why you took it and hid it in the ground. You weren't going to preach this idea. You weren't going to teach this idea to nobody. You're just going to teach your own interpretation of the plan of salvation. You're going to teach your own ideas about it all. Your own opinions. That's all you were going to do. That's all you wanted to do from the beginning. But nevertheless, I give you an opportunity because you were the firstborn. And I had to give you the opportunity. So that's the reason why I give you this one talent. To see what you'd do with it. And you had the golden opportunity and you proved what you would do with it. You went and hid it in the earth. So, he says, by your own actions you've judged yourself as unworthy. That's the same thing today. He gives you a talent. You know what your talent is. And if you don't use it, then by your own actions you're going to judge yourself unworthy. He don't have to do nothing but just say, hey, you didn't produce. You didn't act on the talent that I gave you, so there's no question about what I should do with your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no question about it. It automatically is tossed out. It's taken out. Just by your own actions, you take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, I put it in there by your faith in the beginning when you showed faith in me and wanted your name put in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, I accepted that. I accepted your prayer. I accepted your petition that you wanted to have your name placed in this Lamb's Book of Life. And I put it there. And then I give you your talent to utilize. And he said, then my angel kept a record of what you did with your talent. And then one day I come to reckon with you. And that's where we're at today. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, and that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? So why didn't you put the message out that I give you? Why didn't you teach this plan of salvation that I give you through the blood of the everlasting Son? Why didn't you teach that to the people, whether you believed it or not? Why didn't you go ahead and teach what I entrusted you with? And see what would have happened. You might have had somebody out there to take a hold of this message and could have been saved by it. But because you went and hid this plan of salvation in the earth, the keys to the kingdom,
You went and hid it, and you kept it away from the people, because they didn't know where it was at. You went and hid it. So you kept it from the people. How many souls and how much blood is going to be upon your hands because of this? Okay. For I say unto you that unto every one which has shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. Alright? So he says, verse 24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the 1 pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. So the one that utilized all of his talent, the one that had the 1 pound that gained 10 pounds, now that's a, he said he came to the first one, but he came to the one of the three. And the first he came to, he said, oh, that pound has gained 10 pounds. So now who is the one going to end up getting this pound from the slothful servant? The one that had gained 10 pounds. Okay, and they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. My goodness, he has 100%. Why does he need one more pound? Because he's going to take this 1 pound, and he's going to judge that servant that had that 1 pound. He's going, which was a servant with him at one time in the kingdom. He's going to use that man's own. He's going to use his own record against him, and he's going to show by the record. Because I'm going to make him steward of the vineyard. This last one that had the 10 pounds, I'm going to make him steward of the vineyard, and he's the one that's going to call all these that had worked before him. He's going to call them all and give them their hand, show them their record book. He's going to say, well, here's what's in your record book. Hey, this is what you get paid, what your record book shows. Okay? So you didn't use your master's money that he loaned you. You used your own. You buried his in the ground. So his money was a penny a day, eternal loss. That was his money that he gave you, and you went and buried it in the earth. You buried that penny a day in the earth. You buried your salary that he promised you, that if you be faithful and preach that message that's in this here talent that I give you, if you preach that message, there's a penny a day in there. That's your reward. You get paid your penny a day. And when you're through with delivering that complete message, then you will have eternal life waiting for you. Now that's what you buried in the earth. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to unto Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, and in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the master hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? They said, your master hath need of him. And they brought him to Yahshua, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sent Yahshua their own. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise Yahweh with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of Yahshua, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones should immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day,
the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days come shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. End of Luke 19. Well, where are we at today, folks? We're at the place for this temple. World events are showing us that Yahshua is nigh at hand to bring his faithful people and to shut them in until the indignation be overpassed. But we are leading up to the most horrible time of trouble that has never been since there was a nation. We are now in the sorrow part of it. Our nations are still kind of functioning independently, all right. But it won't be long hence, or they won't be. And it's going to be mad chaos. And that's why we are doing these parables today, to show you who we are and where we're at the stream of time, and that if you know what your talent is, then be about using it and putting it forth. So anyway, let's go now to okay, Matthew chapter 5. We're getting close to the end of our study. It says, And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Yahweh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. So the kingdom of heaven is made the salt of the earth for the world. And if the people that runs this kingdom of heaven have lost their enthusiasm and their first love, and they don't have any conviction and any feelings for their fellow man and for the lost human race, then they're in bad business, and they're in bad shape, and they're in grave danger of losing their souls, their lives, and the kingdom that they've been put in charge of. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversaries quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee unto the judge, and the judge deliver thee unto the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So if you can't take your eyes off from seeing all this licentious stuff and this evil stuff, pictures of it, want to read about it, well then that's what it's talking about. If your eye offend thee, if you can't keep from looking at it, then better be tucked your eye out, so you don't have to put those visual images in your mind. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So if you can't refrain your right hand from reaching out and taking hold of something you know is not good for you, but you want it anyway, well, you better go cut your hand off. You better cut it off than to lose your soul. It hath then said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Yahshua thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yahweh's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn unto him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give unto him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? do not even the publican so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we have one last command. After all is said and done of all of this, he says, be ye perfect, for your Father which is in heaven is perfect, and you're going to have to become perfect like him, or you'll have no place with him in the hereafter. This brings the first lesson of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call at number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Turn your eyes upon Yahshua. Oh, soul, how you weary and troubled. No light in the darkness you see. This light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Yahshua, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Yahshua, the full in his wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world this is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Yahshua, look full in his wonderful face.